malignant organs, restoring patients to a sense of balance, returning them to their individual paths of personal purpose and pleasure. And when I step into that operating room, I have to be able to put my individual needs, put my individual weaknesses aside, so that what I am uniquely poised, positioned, prepared to do, I can do it without distraction, and I can do it to the utmost of my abilities. Find more content from the heart and mind of Dr. Duane at drduanemd.substack.com. That's drduanemd.substack.com. Come vibe with our tribe. We are tribal by nature. We make war and eventually we learn the medicine of peace. Let's sit now like our mothers at the communal table and our fathers around communal fire, listening for the resonance that turns noise to music. Just as a surgeon orchestrates healing in the body, I invite you to this symphony of the heart and mind. Because after 20 years, this sober cancer surgeon knows this above all. Our strongest medicine flows from the heart. Now, if you're ready, let's dig deep. Is Dr. Duane, your cancer surgeon, sober coach, apostle of tolerance, and catalyst for change? And today, I'm your conductor. There's a symphony that I want you to be a part of. And today we're focused on that symphony that, well, some of you may have been players, spectators in a symphony of your own, in the operating room, I mean, in which there's an ensemble who's assembled for one purpose in mind: care of the patient, controlled, prescribed assault, induction of anesthesia, all in the pursuit of healing, all in the pursuit of restoring balance to that which has been harmed, shifted out of balance, somehow decayed even in the circumstances of the patients who walk into my office with cancers that have eroded, have grown past the boundaries. This is what makes cancer so deadly, is that it does not respect boundaries. It exceeds the function that's encoded in its machinery. And it just multiplies without governor. And so several times a week, often a few times a day, I don my surgical garb and I step into that arena. It's not unlike an orchestral hall in the sense that there's players with various strengths, with unique instruments, and no one of us can carry out the mission on behalf of the patient without thee. Help, assistance, without the notes added by these other players. I, as a surgeon, can't do it alone. This is the point. There's just too many notes to be played. There's too many chords which are essential. It's too complex of an operation. But as with any symphony, as with any orchestra, there must be a conductor. There must be one who interprets the notes on the page. One who exercises judgment in bringing meaning to the spaces between the notes, in bringing meaning to the pause between what's played. And that's my role. That's my role in the operating room in pursuit of healing of the patient. As I remove malignant organs, restoring patients to a sense of balance, returning them to their individual paths of personal purpose and pleasure. And when I step into that operating room, I have to be able to put my individual needs, put my individual weaknesses aside, so that what I am uniquely poised, positioned, prepared to do, I can do it without distraction, and I can do it to the utmost of my abilities. So what that involves, without fail, is a recognition that I am the conductor. And then with two taps, as it were, I have to calm the chaos that is external to me and calm the chaos that is internal as well. Because one thing is for sure, and two things for certain, as they say, the patient feels what I feel. And so this is the mantra, and this is the ethos. This is the this is the note of resonance to which all the players in the room tune their instruments. And I, as the conductor, set the tone. Listen, it's time to put away what happened this weekend. It's time to put away the gossip of the day. Hopefully you've tended to your physical needs. Hopefully you're rested. But if you're not, let's just take a second and remember why we're here. Let's take a second and tune our instruments to a note that allows us all in harmony, in unison, to deliver the prescribed assault. Not unlike the stroke of the bow against the string of the violin. See, there's friction there. There's transfer of energy from one player to another, from one implement to another. Not unlike the percussing of the drum, the timpani, not unlike the pluck of the harp. These are all traumas. These are all assaults of sort. And they are prescribed and they are tuned to a note that induces resonance. Now, in our era, that note is A440. And in the operating room, it's some version of the timeout. But in the spirit of the conductor, we take it one step further. In the spirit of the conductor, we invoke the mantra that says the patient feels what I feel. This is my reminder to make space for my humanity. This is my opportunity to take note of any need that maybe I have not tended to with the discipline that I aspire to bring to my daily practice. And in that moment, to shift my focus to the sacred, secret chord of the work that I've been gifted to perform. But the ethos of that mantra doesn't stop there. The ethos of that mantra, it extends beyond the operating room. It's about more than bringing the other players of the team to the mindset that the mantra encapsulates. It's about carrying that same spirit, that same recognition, that same peace that I purpose to show up as on a daily basis, bringing it to the bedside of my patient, whether in the office, whether on rounds, so that in the space of that energetic exchange, it's very clear that what I'm transferring to the patient is energy that heals. What I'm transferring to the patient is energy that empowers. Because the patient feels what I feel. But that's not all. When I'm standing at that table, when I'm sitting across from that patient in the office, I'm acutely aware of my needs. I'm acutely aware of the work that I must engage in between these patient encounters. That work sustains me. That work fills my cup so that I can continue to serve from the overflow and not from the dregs at the bottom. And this yes, this is my prescription for you. Because when I look across at that patient who's arrived in my office 2 months too late, that's in the best case scenario. But when I look across at that patient who's arrived in my OR 2 years too late, the disease that's brought us together has progressed from one that can be easily managed and cured to one that we have to find the best resources available that will permit the patient to live with the disease for as long as possible. I'm privileged to do both of those, but man, I would love to do more of the former. And so that's why I'm behind this microphone. Because I want to empower you before the preventable disease brings us together. I want to equip you before that delayed diagnosis. Exacts its toll. Because I feel what you feel. I feel my humanity tugging at me when I try to answer my calling and take care of you. Some of you are the only somebody that the person you love can depend on. Some of you are the only somebody that husband, that son or daughter, that mother, that father, or maybe it's just the lady next door who has no first of kin, who without you would be lost. And so you do what you do. You show up. You show up for that person. You do the heavy lifting of standing in the gap, giving them what they need. That's your purpose. That's your calling. And you don't look for thanks. You don't look for recognition. You do it because you know that's what you're here for. And I applaud that. I identify with that. But in the same breath, please hear this. Your body is the requisite vehicle for the experience of life. Your body is the requisite vehicle for the delivery of care. And so you have to care for yourself first so that you can care for them. And so, yes, when I step in that conductor's box in the operating room, when I don that whole armor, it's my medical knowledge, it's my surgical proficiency, and it's the heart to care and to minister that seemingly I was born with. When I don that, I don it with the full ministry of self-care as the foundation for that ministry. And so my promise to you is that I will keep equipping those of you who will answer that call. Your body, your care, so that the care of those that you love may be possible. So if you haven't done so already, go to my newly revamped website, drduanemd.com, and look for self-care resources. I'll be putting in an ever-expanding library of tools that you can use. I want this voice between your ears, creating just enough space for you to recharge. Creating just enough space for you to breathe. Creating just enough room for you to tend to your needs, so that your body, your vessel, may go on just a little while longer. I want to meet you in this theater. I want to deliver a prescribed assault on your limiting beliefs in this operating sphere. I want to hear, cut out that cancer of self-disregard, and as I stitch it up, I want to imbue you with self-empowerment. I want you to know that the holiest work that you can be engaged in is caring for this irreplaceable vessel that the beauty and strength and wisdom of the ages is housed in. You came to this point in space and time from an experience before experience. You brought with you giftings, treasure, and you have been sharing that from your heart from day one. But we want those days to stretch out before you. We want them to not be cut short. There's a scripture, we're going to go there, that says, my people are destroyed for lack of vision. They can't see what is possible in the moment in which they stand. They can't see what can be built with the implements in their hands. But no more. I'm the conductor. Tap, tap. Calm chaos. The patient feels what I feel.
Find more content from the heart and mind of Dr. Duane at drduanemd.substack.com. That's drduanemd.substack.com. Come vibe with our tribe.